This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
I bring you greetings from the churches in Canada and from my wife, who I was texting with late last night. She says to send her love. And we've got four little kids, and they are very excited to have Daddy home tomorrow. But my littlest girl, Eva, she just wrote out a little prayer that Daddy would have a good time while he's away and wouldn't die. And so I think both those things will come true.
Yeah.
It's funny, when you travel around, when you go to someone's church for the first time, they afterward, and I do the same thing, you know, you begin to think, okay, well, who was there? What visitors did we have? And who was away? And then you always think, okay, oh, well, this family, they were away, and this person, he was away, and this girl, he was away. And as I was standing over there, the Lord spoke to me about us here. And he just said, there's lots of people away this morning. He said, there's actually not just the families that you know. You probably look around and think, oh, this family's missing or this person's away. But he said, there's actually dozens of people missing this morning that are called to be here. They just don't know it yet. And it's not going to stop at the dozens, because there are hundreds in this city that are actually meant to be here amongst us that just don't know it yet. Some are called because some don't even know Jesus yet.
Right.
And they're going to encounter Christ through you, and they're going to find their home. And there's some in this city who know Jesus, have a relationship with the Heavenly Father through the power of the Spirit, but have never found their home. That's because they're missing from here. I believe in the season that lies ahead for you, God's going to equip you to help people find their home here. I believe that God is one of the things that I saw in the Spirit this morning, before we get on to other things I want to share. One of the things I saw in the Spirit this morning was of a little sprout, a little seed that had suddenly shot out of the ground. And I felt God say that that's where you are here, that for a long time he's been organizing and working on the seed, but that it suddenly shot out of the ground, and now it's visible. And now the growth is going to happen quickly. And for years, God's been working on foundations, working on seeds, working on things that have been getting all the things right in the seed form that are meant to come to fruition and are important when the plant comes to fruition. So that when the plant comes to fruition, suddenly it doesn't realize it has lack. But that he's been putting all of that in place so that it has the conditions that are right to grow and it can have fruit and fruit that remains. And I believe that amongst us here this morning, amongst you here this morning, that God has been behind the scenes, underground, in the dark, working to organize things for future growth. And I'm not just saying that. I don't say that, every place that I go. But I believe that's significant for you, that in the season that's ahead, God is going to cause quick increase. And that there are dozens of people. There's whole groups, there's whole friendship networks that are missing this morning. That as soon as one comes, they're going to come and think, this is my home, this is what I've been looking for, this is the dynamic of the Spirit that has been birthed in my heart, and suddenly they're going to go, like the woman at the well, and get everybody and say, come, you've got to see that Jesus is alive in Coventry. All right. It's really good to be here this morning. I've had the privilege of having Matthew over by us into the church, must be 4 or 5 years ago now. We've known each other for a long time. It's also great to see some familiar faces here. I was reminded that there are people in this church that have known me for over 20 years. And that is before I had a beard, which means that you've seen me, that my wife hasn't even, and never even seen me without a beard. But they have reminded me that they recognize me kind of. They recognize this half of my face. but it's good to be here. It's good to see so many familiar faces. My wife and I just moved to we moved from downtown Ottawa to a 50-acre farm on the outskirts of Ottawa. And we just did that a few months ago. And one of the things I love about it is all the neighbors, of course, are farmers. So you get all this fresh, you know, produce and you get all this fresh meat. And in the springtime, I got this little, like a hibachi. You know what that is? Like a barbecue that's like a coal barbecue. It's one of those little round ones. And it's and I was excited to use it. And so I'm putting the coals in, and I'm getting everything ready, and I've got some fresh lamb from the neighbors, and I'm getting it all. I'm making everyone hungry now. I'm making me hungry. I'm getting it all ready, and I've got the smoke just right, and I've got the coals just right, and My youngest son, Micaiah, who's four. My kids are five, and then I have twins that are four, and the little girl is three. And my youngest son, Micaiah, who's four, he comes over, and he's not seen this thing before. It's brand new, this little round black thing. And he walks over, and he goes to put his hands up to see what's inside it. And I was like, whoa, Kai, be careful. I said, this is a barbecue. It's got fire in it. Don't touch the barbecue. It's hot. And he turned to me, and he said this. I was like, be careful not to touch the barbecue. And then he said, is it because then I'll catch on fire and then turn to fire and then everything I touch will turn to fire and everyone will call me Fire Boy? I didn't quite know how to respond to that. No. But as I began to think about that, God brought it back to me, and he says, that's exactly the way that it's meant to be for us. Is that when you touch the fire, you'll catch on fire, then you'll turn to fire, and everything you touch will turn to fire, and everyone will call you Fire Boy. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're a Fire Boy or Fire Girl. and it began causing me just to think and to pray and to meditate about what the Lord meant when he says, I'll catch on fire, then we'll turn to fire, then everything we touch will turn to fire, and everyone will call us Fire Boys. I began to think about it, and of course, you know that, you know, fire is a multifaceted image throughout Scripture. Moses met the presence of God in the midst of a fire. The people of Israel, confronted the presence of God at Sinai when fire came down from heaven. Solomon dedicated the temple, and fire fell from heaven. Daniel's vision was about fire. All through the Scripture, and there's literally dozens of spots that we could look at. that talk about the fire of God. I remember when I was a kid, I was probably 11 or 12, and I remember my uncles, none of them are Christians, and my parents are from a big family, and I was with my uncles, and they decided to burn a garden to make it ready for the springtime. It was fall. They're like, well, we're going to burn a patch for Grandma. And so they started this, but they were, well-refreshed. As we were burning the garden, they had been enjoying their refreshments, and I remember talking to my uncles, and I said, I was out there with them, and I said, hey, do you think maybe we should put this fire out soon? And they were otherwise occupied, and they're like, oh, we'll get to it. And they're like, well, there's a little bit of long grass, we'll burn that long grass, and then it'll be fine. And so, of course, they're burning the long grass. And I went, hey, guys, the grass is burning. Maybe we should put the fire out. And they're like, oh, we'll get to it. And they weren't concerned because they're like, well, if it burns, even if it gets to the long brush, that's okay because there's a road. and the road is going to stop the fire. And so it got to, you know, next thing you know, it starts burning more and more. They're like, well, it's okay. We'll be okay. We'll put it out now. We'll try and put it out now. And if it doesn't get out, the road's going to help us. Well, we're out there trying our hardest to put this fire out. But they're not really that concerned, like I said, because it's a big road. Well, it took about 2 minutes for the fire to leap the road. And next thing you know, the fire has started on the other side of the road, and there's no barriers. And we're out there with shovels and blankets and buckets, and we're trying to put this fire out, and it's not going out. I had to run up to the farmhouse and tell my grandma. I said, listen, you got to call the fire department. And she's like, Steve Wilkins, that's not funny. And I was like, I'm being serious. You need to, you know, and by that point, you look outside, and it's just billows of smoke. And we managed to burn about 4 square miles of forest that day. it was funny because you could, as much as my uncles wanted to, they thought they could control the fire. They thought it was safe. And one of the things which we're going to talk about this morning is that the fire of God is not a safe fire. The Bible says that he is a consuming fire. Our God, Hebrews 12:29 says this, our God is a consuming fire. And so I began to think about this, and I began to look in scripture about the fire, and it's like suddenly there were certain scriptures that kind of jumped out at me, and I'm like, how have I never seen this before? Like, who snuck this into my Bible? Because I've read the Bible, but I didn't see these things before. And one of them was this, in Luke 12:49, I'll just read it to you. It's Jesus talking, and he says this, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I was reading that and thinking, I have never seen that before. Why have I never seen that Jesus said, you know, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish they were already kindled. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist is talking about this, and he says, indeed, I baptize you with water under repentance, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that word there, the word and, isn't really there in the original. It's actually, and the fiery Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of fire. The words are connected, that inherent in the, as a characteristic of this Holy Spirit, is fire. And one of the things that I've been trying to allow God to do in my life and speak to me since he's been speaking to me about fire is to elevate my understanding and expectation of who the person of the Holy Spirit is. He's not come just to give us goosebumps. He's not come just so that we can speak in tongues and move in some gifts on a Sunday morning. He's not content with it just separating us out from maybe other churches in the city. He is a consuming fire. He's the Holy Spirit, but he's the fiery Holy Spirit. He's come to light us on fire. He's come in response to Jesus, to the heart desire of Jesus, which is, I want to set this earth on fire. And so he sent the fiery Holy Spirit. All right, so the first, I'm just going to really quickly go through a few different points, and we might camp on one or two of them. Is that all right? So the point number one is that he is a consuming fire. He is not content to simply be a fire that is easily directed or kept at bay. Yeah. Right. He's not content for the fire doors in our life. We say, Jesus, I would like to get warm by your fire, and here's some things you can have, but I would like to keep all of this, and so I'm going to put a fire door here so that you're not really a consuming fire, you're just a comfortable fire. There are comfortable fires, little campfires, you know, you can get by and you can, but this isn't Jesus. Jesus is a consuming fire. He's come to take over your life and my life. All right. I'm just going to, like I say, go through a few of them, and there's a few things that God's going to highlight to us this morning. Number two is he's a refiner's fire. Right. Malachi 3 says this, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they might offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. One of the things that's beautiful about the picture and the image of this refiner's fire in the scripture is I mean, you know what it's like. They stoke a fire underneath this sort of cauldron of gold or cauldron of silver. And as the heat gets turned up, all the junk that's in there, all the dross, it slowly begins to come to the top. And the refiner then takes off all the junk and then turns the heat up. And next thing you know, more junk is coming to the top. And then he gets rid of it, and then he turns the heat up. And then more is coming to the top. And he knows that he has finally refined this gold when he can look and he can see his reflection in the gold. When he can see himself reflected back, and all that junk is gone, then he knows this is refined silver. This is refined gold. And it's the same with you and I, where God turns up the heat, turns up the pressure in our life, and because he says, I want to bring some things to the surface. I want you to be aware of some things that are in your life that I want to deal with. And I can find myself thinking, well, that's warm enough, God. Thank you. I am good with this. But he says, his heart for us is that he would look at our life and see his reflection in it. That he would look and see himself so that the world can look and see him in us. So I know that all of our heart's cry is, God, I want you to turn up the heat in my life. I want you to turn up the heat so that all the junk, all the dross, all the things that don't belong will be taken care of. But here's the thing that I like the most about the refiner's fire. As he turns up the heat, as the junk comes to the top and as we become aware of it, the refiner doesn't turn to the gold and say, look at all that junk. You got to deal with all that before I can see myself. You have to somehow find a way to get rid of all of this. This is unacceptable. No, the refiner takes care of it. The refiner says, stay in the heat. Allow the work of the heat of my presence to work in your life. And as the junk rises to the top, just stay in the heat and I will take care of it. I will remove these things from you. And it takes a lot of it puts our responsibility at simply this. God, here, you can have my life, turn up the heat. And I'm going to stay close to the presence of God. I'm going to stay close in the fire of God, in the fiery presence of his Holy Spirit. That's where I'm going to stay because that's where my job finishes. And that's where his job begins. His job is to cause all the things that don't belong to come to the surface. His job then is to equip me to deal with all those things. Because I look at all the things in my life and I think, well, I'm hopeless against them. But he will deal with them through the power of the fiery Holy Spirit in our life as long as we stay in the heat. Does that make sense? All right. There's one thing that I just want to jump to. Is that when Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, we know the story in Acts. When he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, they all go and they wait in the upper room. And then what happens? It says, and there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And then fire came, and it says, and it divided and rested on every person's head individually. I find this remarkable that this is an individual fire. They were all together. It was a corporate baptism, of course, but it was an individual fire. There's nobody who can respond to the Holy Spirit for you.
Right.
The fiery Holy Spirit comes to rest on your head individually. It's not because you go to a church that's fiery. It's not because you have maybe a spouse that's fiery, or you grew up in a family that speaks in tongues, or you grew up in a family that believed in the Holy Spirit. No, it's a personal baptism into the fiery Holy Spirit. And I believe God is elevating across his world the realization and the revelation of who it is that we've been baptized into. Not what, but who. Who it is that we have been immersed into. And it's the fiery Holy Spirit. And it doesn't happen simply by going to a fiery church. It doesn't happen by simply belonging to a fiery family or believing in fiery doctrine. and adhering to a set of things that I think, yeah, this is what I believe. This is not the same thing as the person of the Holy Spirit coming to rest in fire on your life and on my life. It's an individual baptism. And there's no one who can respond for you. Does that make sense? I'm just going to pray for a minute before we go on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your fiery Holy Spirit. Lord God, even now, as I continue in your word, I ask that your fiery Holy Spirit will do what only your Holy Spirit can do and ignite every single life that's open to you. All right. There's a story that I won't read to you, but it's I'll just tell you about it. It's found in Acts 28. It's a story of Paul. Paul was having a really bad week. He had been put in prison. He'd been questioned. He'd been interrogated. Then he had been whipped. Then he had been put on a boat. Then the boat was shipwrecked. And then he managed to swim to shore, and he gets to shore, and there's some people who are at least kind to him, and he thinks, oh, this is great. Some people are at least kind. Nobody wants to kill me. Everybody's happy. There's a fire. I know. I'll help, and I'll get some wood for the fire. And it says, and he went and got some wood for the fire. It says, in getting the wood, a viper fastened itself to Paul's hand. And then it says he couldn't get it off. It fastened itself. It didn't just bite him. It fastened itself to Paul's hand. But then it says he took it over to the fire, and he held it in the fire, and he shook it off in the fire. And at first, the people around him said, wow, this guy is clearly a murderer. He's something's wrong with him. Because look at what's happened to him. Look at this. Look, this guy is going to die. He escaped the shipwreck, but then a viper came and fastened itself to him. So clearly there's something wrong with this guy. But it says he shook it off in the fire and no ill effect happened to him. And everyone was amazed. The reason why I'm trying to highlight that this morning is because I know that I'm not the only one in life who knows at times an enemy come and fasten itself to an area of your life. Not just bite you and leave, but fasten himself to an area of your life. And you think, I'm dealing with an enemy in this area, a robber, someone who's come to steal or kill or destroy. I'm dealing with an enemy here in this, and he has come and he has fastened himself. And no matter what I do, I can't seem to shake him off. No matter what I do, I can't seem to get this viper to go away. And then all the voices around them that I'm listening around me are saying, well, there's something wrong with me. I'm just, you know, I'm not strong enough. I'm not powerful enough. There's something wrong with me. God doesn't love me. There's a judgment against me. There must be something wrong in my life. And all the voices that I can choose to listen to are all negative and saying that there's no hope. There's nothing you can do. You are just going to die. That's it. Give up the struggle. But then suddenly Paul goes and he says, I'm going to go. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to move myself to the fire. And in moving yourself to the fire, suddenly the power of that viper that had fastened himself onto an area of your life becomes powerless. Paul shook it off in the fire. And in the fire, he was delivered. The fire of God has power to deliver you from an enemy.
Very good.
The fire of God has power to see you set free from the fastening of an enemy to an area of your life. You can struggle with it. You can strive with it. You can curse it. You can shout at it. You can listen to all the voices that say there's no hope. Or you can bring yourself to the fiery presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. And in the person of the Holy Spirit, the serpent is dealt with. There is a delivering power in the fiery presence of God. Um All right, another thing I want to talk about is the is zeal and passion. Prophet Jeremiah says this in chapter 20, verse 9. He says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with trying to be quiet, and I could not stay quiet any longer." In Isaiah chapter 6, you encounter Isaiah, who's full of, he realizes when he sees God that he's full of guilt. He realizes when he sins God, he says, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among an unclean people." But then it says, an angel came and took some of the fiery coals and put them on his lips and says, "Behold, your guilt is taken away." And then you see a response from Isaiah that you hadn't seen before. Suddenly God says, "Well, who can go? Who can I send?" And you see a response from Isaiah. He says, "Here I am, send me." The fire of God not only takes away your guilt and cleanses your sin, but it ignites a zeal and a passion for God's house that you didn't previously have. I know I'm not on my notes necessarily anymore, and I've kind of lost my order, because I'm trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that I don't want to just preach a message. I want to speak the word of God to all of our lives, including my own, so that God can, I want his word to be alive and active so that he can do what only his spirit can do. And he comes and he brings his word and he says, "This isn't just a scripture. This is my word that I'm suddenly going to make alive in your life. And I'm going to apply it to you in a way that, no preacher could." God can take his word through his Holy Spirit and cause it to be a sharp sword and come alive in your life. And that's what God's doing right now in so many of us. He's taking his words and causing them to suddenly come alive inside of our spirit. Your mind is involved, but it's not the primary apparatus through which you receive the revelation that from the word. That's what's happening this morning. That's why your spirit man or your spirit woman is saying, "I like this, I want more," even though at times your mind is like, "Oh, I don't quite understand that," or "I didn't catch that scripture," or "I'm really hungry," or... But your spirit man or your spirit woman is saying, this is food to me, I'm alive in this. That's why Jesus says, "My words are for spirit and their truth." I'm just going to ask if we could all stand. One of the things which I like about this story in Acts, when the fiery Holy Spirit comes to each individual person, he transforms them. And you see a group of people who, up until the day before, were concerned about themselves. When are you going to restore the kingdom to Jerusalem? When are you going to restore? What's my place in the kingdom? Can I sit at your right hand? Well, and there's arguing amongst them. There's agenda. There's self-concern. And suddenly, the person of the fiery Holy Spirit comes, consumes that life, and they spill. They're transformed, and they spill out, and they realize that they're sent to the world as ambassadors of this person, this fiery Holy Spirit. He comes to transform us and to send us into this world. Jesus says this in Luke 12:49 in the Message, right after he says, "I've come to set a fire on this earth. How I wish it were blazing right now." Then he says this, "I've come to change everything. Turn everything right side up, and how I long for it to be finished. Did you think I came to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and to confront." I don't like that word. Disrupt and confront? What do you mean? I am quite comfortable. Thank you very much. I like my life. I like the way that I do things. I like being able to have autonomy over my time and my interests and my relationships and my money. And Jesus says, I'm a consuming fire. And I have cut. Did you think I came just to make everything nice in your life? He says, not so. I've come to set this earth on fire. And it's going to start by men and women like you who have had an encounter with the fiery Holy Spirit that aren't content with simply a low expectation of being filled with the Spirit that causes us to, like I say, have goosebumps or speak in tongues or occasionally move in a gift of the Spirit. There's a hunger that's burning in His church around His world for an encounter with the fiery Holy Spirit that causes us to be consumed on a daily basis. That isn't content with just going to meetings, isn't content with just waiting for somebody else to get us into the mood so that we can worship the Lord. But where a fire has come that says on a daily basis, God, I want you to consume my life. And I want you to set every area of my life on fire. I want every area of my life to be saturated with the fiery Holy Spirit so that I can be sent to your world as kindling to set this world on fire. I was going to, if someone could join me on the guitar. We're just going to take a moment with the few minutes that we've got left. And again, I'm not primarily trying to speak to your intellect. I'm trying to create a space for a spiritual encounter. To stir our will and our emotions and our mind to the point where our faith reaches out for something fresh in God. For some right here, right now, you know that you knew exactly what the Spirit was talking to you when I talked about how a viper comes and fastens himself to an area of your life. I'm going to give you a word now of instruction, which comes from the Scripture, which is this. Get close to the fire. Go to the fire. That's something you can do today, but it's a place that you're actually meant to live. Not to have excursions back and forth, but you're actually meant to live being consumed by the fiery presence of God. I think you know that the fire of God takes away your guilt, takes away your sins. But the fire of God this morning is going to deal with reluctance by igniting zeal, igniting a passion. So that we'll have the response like Isaiah, here I am, send me. So again, this is something that is a transaction that happens spiritually. So if that's you, I want you to just reach out with your faith and say, God, I want that transaction. I want you to ignite a passion in me, and I want your consuming Holy Spirit to consume any of the dross of reluctance. Holy Spirit, consume the dross of reluctance and ignite a passion and a zeal for your house that sends your fiery sons and daughters into this world. One last thing that I see God doing right now in His Spirit in this house is bringing to the surface the dross of lack of confidence. And He's going to ignite boldness in His house. This isn't meant to be necessarily just expressed in meetings. I'm talking about in the world. God's going to burn up the dross of lack of confidence, of fear of man. And is going to ignite a zeal and a passion and a boldness in His house. So God, I just ask you, you'll do it now. Holy Spirit, light of fire. A consuming fire in your house. That removes lack of confidence and causes a Holy Ghost boldness that is remarkable, that is illogical, that is unnatural, because it comes from you. God, I ask that you would elevate our revelation, our expectation of what it means to be filled with the fiery Holy Spirit. God, deliver us from an ordinary expectation of our daily life. And deliver us into an extraordinary expectation of being men and women who are filled with your fiery Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.